Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item. Current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level podcast, everybody. How you doing, race car driver? How's your day?
I'm good. Zoom, zoom.
If you guys are not watching the video version, Bridget's in her little race car outfit. It's very cute because we're talking about race cars today. You know what I did last night? I did the biggest purge on my LA house. Just like cleaned out. Like my car right now is packed to the brim of like Goodwill drop-off stuff.
Whoa, doesn't that feel so good?
It really does. And I have so much, I mean, I barely have scratched the surface though. I have so much more to do. And it just felt so good because it's all stuff, or most of it's stuff I've accumulated over the last like 6 years. So that's a lot of things for me. That's my last relationship. That's like my post-divorce era. It's like the COVID era and just so much stuff I need to let go of. And I really feel like I'm on the precipice of like a new era. So
yay.
I love it. Yeah.
We love that feeling. I love that feeling.
Me too. I'm also like thinking about, you already know this, but like I'm not leaving Vegas, but as far as like my LA life goes, I'm thinking about moving from Hollywood to Malibu. Thinking about it, there's a lot involved in that. But I think the first step is like purge my house of so much stuff that I wouldn't take with me. So it feels good to like do a step in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's so, I mean, the thought of moving is so overwhelming. I know Nick and I need to do it too, but it's just like, I hate moving.
I know, it's a lot.
But it does give you that opportunity to like go through and like get rid of a lot of stuff that you don't want to carry into like your quote, new life.
Just a purge, yeah. Mm-hmm. If I move to Malibu, I'm turning into Malibu Barbie. At least part-time. It's my new identity.
You know what? Malibu's interesting to me. Like, people love Malibu so much, and I go there, and I don't get it.
No, I know what you mean, because it's interesting, because it's a very long city. It's just like it stretches out. I forget like how many miles long it is, but it just stretches out along the PCH, and it's, and there's not a ton of stuff out there. Like to do a lot of your errands, you have to drive like 30 minutes into the valley or so. But even so, that's so much better than doing errands in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So there's that, you know, so it's not like the most convenient in the world. And it's not always the easiest to like get an Uber. Like it's just not, because it's a little
out there. It's out there.
But the good news about that is it's so well preserved. I remember when I first moved to LA, the first time I went to Malibu, you know, I'd never been there before. And I was working at Hooters, and they would have us do stuff that was like promotional stuff, like not just working at the restaurant. Like they would pay us to go like serve wings at like a marathon or something like that. And there was one at Zuma Beach, and I had my whole map quest printed out, because this was like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, probably now. And I drove out there, and I had been to like Santa Monica Beach before and Venice. And I just thought Malibu was going to be another one of those, like very congested, very touristy, not necessarily like the cleanest. But I drive out to Malibu, and it's just like all these green rolling hills. And just as you're driving north towards Zuma, like the most beautiful views of the ocean. And I just remember being like jaw on the floor. Like I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And like I got home later that day, and I like emailed my high school friends, and I'm like, have you guys ever seen Malibu? Like, I just couldn't believe it, how beautiful it was. But I know what you mean. It's rural in a way.
Yes.
It's unexpected. It's not what you would think.
Yeah. And just so people know, to clarify, I'm not hating on Malibu. Of course not. Like, Malibu is Malibu. Like, whatever. But there's a huge draw for so many people in Malibu. And I get the views. I get being on the ocean right there. I get the beauty of it and stuff. But there's also a very, clicky culture, like let's do lunch in Malibu, and let's, you know what I mean, and let's go shopping in Malibu and things like that. And that part I don't get. I don't get Malibu as a city. There is no city to me. There's just like a strip mall and then a strip mall and then a fancy strip mall.
Yeah.
and there's no like no town center to me. I'm sure somebody will call or write in and be like, no, actually, it's right here. But and I get it. I get that there are spots, but like, I don't understand it as a area.
Yeah. And just to people who've never been or never spent much time out there, it's just not what you'd expect, I think.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, like in some ways, it's better and way more amazing than you expect. And in some ways, it's like, oh, this is what it is.
I wasn't expecting to talk about Malibu this morning, though.
I know. We're just getting in depth. Anyway, back to what we're here to talk about. So we are back to the Dangerous Curves episode. And I think the scene we left off on is Kendra's out at the racetrack training. And we kind of get to this place where she's like, oh, I want to go stand up on the platform and learn how to do the flag. So she goes up and she's waving the flag. And when I'm watching this, it's probably not what the average viewer is thinking, but I'm watching this and I'm bored. And I think I'm bored in part because I can tell what she's doing because I've been in that place before where you're being filmed and you're like, okay, nothing's going on. What can I do that's kind of interesting right now? Oh, I know. I'm going to go learn the flag. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, she's doing her job, doing what she's supposed to do, doing what, you know, a variation of what we'd probably do in the same situation. But I think because I've been there, I'm watching it. And I'm like, oh, this is boring. And I can tell she's bored. And I can tell she's trying to think of something she can do that would be somewhat interesting. And it's not really leading anywhere. So then she's got a flash. So my take on this scene is like, I'm bored. But I don't know if the average viewer takes that away. They might think that's cute and funny.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like she's there to race. And I feel like we barely even see her in the car doing any kind of racing stuff. So I feel like it would have been better to stick kind of with that. But I was interested, like, oh, learning the flags. I would be interested in learning the flags. I feel like that's something I would totally do. But I learned nothing about the flags. They probably filmed all kinds of stuff. He probably told her what all the different flags mean, which I think would have been interesting. I don't know how much it would have been for the show, but I think it would have been actually interesting. And then, of course, it just resorts to flashing.
Yeah.
Which is like a gag that I just feel like is we've seen so many times already in here.
Yeah, I feel like it was novel for the viewer in the beginning of our show. It's very much what you'd think of, like what a Playboy girl might be doing. But it's tired at this point. I feel like we've evolved. Kendra's evolved. And it's just like resorting back to, oh, I have nothing to do. Let's flash.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then my conclusion, I came to this scene that I put in my notes is, shows like this are an ensemble show. And when we're splitting off too much, it's just getting not as good. That's why I don't really like this episode. And I didn't really like the last one as much as a viewer. I loved filming those because I thought, oh, cool, I can show what I'm into. But, you know, as a viewer, not as good. And even like the spinoffs too, like Holly's World was very much an ensemble show. Like, I was nothing without that cast of characters. And even Kendra's show, it was very much like a family show. Like, she wouldn't have had anything to do without Hank and the kids. And they always had to, like, work a friend in there. And, you know, whether it was Victoria Fuller one season or somebody else the next, you know? Like, these are ensemble shows, and they don't work as good when it's, like, split off and following one person. Even another example, like, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, it was never just about Kim. Like, they had so many people. Like, that was the show that made the network always say, there's strength in numbers, because there's, like, six kids and two adults. Everybody has somebody they want to watch. It was not the Kim show.
Right.
As much as people might have gone in with that poster where Kim's, like, front and center, and she was the only one anybody really knew at that point, it was definitely not the Kim show, you know, like these shows are ensemble shows.
Yeah. And it's also proves my point too. Like when I was saying earlier in another episode that I really was coming with ideas and I was doing ideas that included other people and other girls and like was filling up that space because that's important for these kinds of shows.
And what I'm about to suggest now, I don't think we needed because I do think we went through strong through the end of season 5 and we went out when the show was on top. But also, like, putting myself back in that time frame and seeing where the show was kind of going and, like, people not wanting to participate and us kind of splitting off. I want to ask you, should Kevin have sat us down and been like, look, I know you guys are antsy. I know y'all want to move on. But for the time being, we're filming this show and it's best when you guys are together. So what would you guys like to do? What would everybody do?
I mean, I think that would have been great had he had done that. But I think even Kevin was too delusional to think that any of us were going to go anywhere. Maybe Kendra, mm-hmm. but the rest of us were sticking around, especially you. Like, maybe I would do something different someday, but it was always going to tie back to the mansion.
Yeah.
And Kendra, she's going to do something, but we're going to still tie her back to the mansion, too. Like, I think he was delusional that day was going to come, and it's going to come soon.
And he didn't want to give up control. Like, he would rather die than have any of us think we have a say in anything besides meekly suggesting, oh, I'm doing this month. It might be fun to follow.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely didn't want to put any of the, not that that would have been giving us that much power. It's more just discussing what would you guys do that would keep you guys together as a group. But also, like, I feel like the three of us together would have come up with fun stuff that we really do want to do together. Mm-hmm. Like, we all love travel. And he wouldn't have liked that because they didn't love the travel episodes. They wanted to keep us tied at the mansion. He wanted to do a show about the mansion. But I think we could have all come together. Like, we love doing photo shoots or doing different products and things like that. Like, we could have all, like, made our collective goals happen, but we were never given that opportunity, really. Yeah. And it was just like everybody was kind of splitting off in different ways.
I was just talking about how I feel like women's health is in the dark ages. And there's an aspect that's very under-discussed in women's health, and that's our hormones. And I'll be honest, it's something I haven't paid much attention to in the past either, but I've realized recently it's time to change that. Hormone imbalances can be the root cause of issues, including brain fog and low energy levels. That's why I recently started using Glow by Beam every day to support my hormone health. Plus, I'm always looking for ways to build collagen. And my last blood test, my inflammation levels were off the charts high. Now I started using Glow by Beam. It's a hormone balancing super powder for women. This delicious drink mix is tailor-made to help balance women's hormones, and it contains 18 comprehensive active ingredients. Combined, they make a daily super powder that supports fluctuations in metabolism, immune function, collagen production, and more. It has vitamins, minerals, and natural antioxidants, specially blended to synergize with each other and your body. No more guesswork in the vitamin aisle.
I've been putting Beam powder in my water every morning, and it's so good. I love the blue raspberry flavor, the strawberry kiwi flavor, and it helps me get all the vitamins I need without swallowing yet another pill. There has never been a better time to prioritize your health and try the best-selling Glow Super Powder. Get up to 35% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/next level and use code next level at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/next level and use code next level for up to 35% off.
But talking about opportunities and like how you said that if we had the, you know, could sit down and be like, we want to like do this with these products or like develop this or that mm-hmm. or whatever. One thing we talk about in commentary right here in this episode is that Playboy Racing never hired us to do anything. Playboy Racing was a whole franchise of Playboy. And there was things like Playboy Energy Drink never hired us to do anything. And I'm just curious, like, why they wouldn't have taken advantage of that. Because I know all of us would have loved to have done things with these, like, franchises of Playboy. And they never, besides Playboy costumes, which we really had to push for, nobody, like, really used us. And I don't mean used in a bad way. I mean like took the opportunity to be a part of the show and be a part of our lives and let us be the ambassadors for it. And I love that shit so much. I love being the ambassador for a brand or a product or, you know what I mean? Like, I love doing that kind of thing. And I would have loved to have been involved in more of those types of things. And we were just like hardly ever asked.
Yeah, it's really interesting because in some ways, Playboy would really use us to their advantage, whether it was putting us in the magazine or, you know, having us be in the model for the Playboy catalog, which I don't remember if that was our idea or not, or if that was something we had to push for. And, you know, on our Patreon and our slumber parties, we're kind of opening each slumber party up by going through like an old issue of Playboy and pointing out stuff in it and discussing it. And I've been noticing in these issues from like 2007 is you'll go through and there's definitely more than one ad page in each issue that's like for some kind of Playboy product or something that features us very heavily. But you're right, there were all these offshoots that didn't really take the opportunity to use us for things that might have like increased brand awareness to a whole other, you know, like the e-viewers were a whole other audience that wasn't typically seeing Playboy Racing or Playboy Energy Drink or
yeah,
things like that.
I bet a lot of people don't even know those things existed.
Yep. Still to this day.
Yeah. And I mean, it would have been fun opportunities for us. And I'm talking paid opportunities. Like, I'm not saying we should have just been used for these mm-hmm. for free. I'm talking about we should have collaborated with them and done stuff with them and been paid
yeah.
for that time. But yeah, it just was something that really didn't. I just think it's a whole area that got left out kind of.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it reminds me of like when I wanted to do the Girls Next Door coffee table book that we originally did. We were meeting with somebody from Playboy Licensing and I was like, oh, we really want to do this book. And she kind of just brushed it off. Not kind of, she definitely brushed it off and was like, oh no, we're already doing something like that with some Playmates. Because what they came up with was this book called The Bunny Book. And in it, they interviewed three different Playmates about all different types of things, anything. I mean, it was pretty sex heavy, but anything from like grooming to squirting, you know,
okay.
like, you know, stuff like that. And she just brushed it off like, oh, no, like we've got that covered, honey. But, you know, we ended up doing our book, which was successful. But like, why do they don't preclude each other? They weren't the same type of thing at all. But I think it's just like that whole bureaucracy mentality where people get so, you know, protective of their own job and justifying their own job. They're like, oh, no, honey, I've already got this covered.
I remember the book idea being preclude yeah. because there was already one in the works with Playmates.
Yeah.
And we were like, wait, but that's totally different.
Yeah.
And it is totally different.
But I think in that moment, she felt like it threatened her thing. So no, sweetie. We've got this.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like there was so much more opportunity that wasn't even, like the surface was barely scratched.
The things we did were all things we pushed for or things we came up with. Like, not the initial merch, like those weird boy shorts and stuff, but, you know, anything from like the bobbleheads to the books to the calendars, like that was me pushing for it. You know, they wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Okay, so now the next scene, we're back at the dealership and you're talking to the woman who is there with like stickers and stuff for pimping your car.
Yeah, and they're playing Kendra's hip hop music in the background and I'm like, what?
But I think it's because
I say I'm pimping my car out. And then I ask if, can you pimp out leased cars? Like, what can you do to a leased car before you have to turn it back in?
And you know what? Honestly, I was curious about that too because like, can you, I guess you can. He says you can.
Yeah.
But I wonder, like, in real life, not on the show mm-hmm. and not for somebody who's, like, getting it on the show or that kind of thing. I wonder in real life if, like, you take a car, or you lease a car. Like, say I lease a Porsche Taycan. And I know it already comes in pink, but I don't like their pink. What if I put a pink wrap on it and changed it out to Playboy rims and stuff like that, and then I try and return it? I'm going to get dinged for all of that, right? For them to have to reverse it back into its normal condition.
I would assume so, unless you took the wrap off and put the regular rims back on.
Yeah. I know people do it all mm-hmm. the time.
And so they come up with these stickers for me and bless their hearts. It's so cute what they came up with. But at the same time,
it's not like, your style.
It's not my style. And like, I don't really know. I mean, I know why I'm doing it. I'm doing it so there's more to do for the scene. But I didn't even want to do anything to my car, like, because my whole point was getting a small, low-key car that I could drive to work and nobody's going to recognize and or anything. But I do think it's cute that they made the effort to, like, do something for me and, like, give me a visual to show. And again, I hate this scene. I think it's just, like, one of the cringiest scenes I've ever done, but whatever, you can't win them all. And
I'm curious. She didn't work for the dealership, though, right? Like, she doesn't, like, come in and do that for people. She was separately?
I have no idea.
Oh.
To none. And then I wanted to say too, so another reason I wanted to kind of start over with a new lease is I was looking to improve my credit score at this time. So I wanted, you know, the lease to be under my name and not Hef's. And Norma and everybody in the office was like, well, if you're doing it for your credit, you have to pay for it yourself. Like, Hef can't pay for it, which I understand, like, his name can't, it has to be on my name if it's going to affect my credit, but he couldn't pay for the lease. And I'm sneering and saying he can pay for the lease because he's paying for everybody else's.
Right. No, I mean, it's a valid point.
Yeah.
So I get back to the mansion, and first thing I have to do is run and grab Hef and go show him the rims. I thought he'd be so excited about them. I don't know why I thought he'd be so excited about them. He doesn't really care about stuff like that, but...
But I think he liked them. They were cute. They turned out really good, and it's his brand. I think he would be excited about it.
And I don't know if you noticed, but he ends the scene by, like, he's totally playing with Winnie and petting Winnie and stuff like that. I feel like he really loved Winnie.
Totally. Of course. Who wouldn't?
I know. But I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I just felt really sincere. And
they had,
like,
a connection.
Yeah.
He makes the rim job joke again.
I know. It's a constant in here. So then the next scene, we're in Mary's office. And this time it's Kendra coming in to chat with Mary. And I have some interesting things to say about this.
Yes.
This whole scene. So basically what's happening here is Kendra's venting because she was ranked last in the race. And she's telling Mary it's because of her blonde hair and big boobs that people automatically think she's not competitive and not an athlete. And Mary says, who says that? And Kendra says, obviously, people that don't fucking know me. And Mary says, that's right. And number one, I really love how Mary's kind of, like, got her back.
You know, yeah,
like,
totally.
Makes you feel better. Yeah. She's like, well, who the fuck are those people anyway?
Yeah.
Like, who cares? They don't know you, right? And I love that. And I feel like it's a really good scene showing kind of our relationship with Mary and how she was with us and everything, something you don't always see. I mean, I know they see a lot of things with you and Mary and even me and Mary in the office, but, like, you don't really see her having her back like this often. And this is how I remember Mary. And she's always just like, fuck those other people. Like, who cares what they think? Who cares what they are doing and stuff, which I love that you can see that here. Two of the things I have to say here too is, one, Kendra's venting because she ranked last in the race, but the reason she's ranked last is because she got in last place. Like, the way a race works like this is they do a qualifying race the day before, and there's a poll when it tells you, like, what position you landed, and that's how you start the race. That's how these races start. And she's ranked last because she came in last, not because somebody just arbitrarily was like, you know what? Kendra has blonde hair and big boobs, and I don't think she's going to do well. I'm going to put her last.
Oh, I'm glad you know that, because I didn't even realize that watching this. And I bet most other viewers don't either. They thought, oh, they're just ranking based on their thoughts, you know?
No, there's a whole qualifying. And she talks about it later that they did the qualifying race and five people crashed just in qualifying.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that's how they were scored. So I'm glad you caught that.
So, like, every race does this that I know of anyways. Like, we go to a lot of the IndyCar races because, like I've said before, we're friends with Marco Andretti. And that's how they place them. That's how you, like, you do the qualifying race the week before or the day before or whenever. And then that, and there's this thing called the pole, and it shows you what position everybody's in. And that's how the races start and what cars are where.
Yeah.
So that's why she was ranked last. So just... that. But then the other thing that I wanted to say in positivity for this scene is that I do feel like there is a prejudice and a prejudging on women with blonde hair and big boobs in general. So aside from the qualifying, I do feel like Kendra does experience this in some points, because I know I have. Mm-hmm. I know even just working on my master's degree, I felt like people were looking at me like, she's getting around. Like it was impossible if you have blonde hair.
Legally
and big
blonde
boobs.
Syndrome.
Yeah, totally. And there's lots of times that I felt this way in my life, even on the Beaches show, which, as crazy as that sounds, I felt like there was a producer who was very much like, give me a break. Like, I didn't qualify for it. I even felt like they were trying to say that on the radio.
Even though
it's
supposed to be a show about sexy beaches.
I know.
Like, but Jesus.
There was a particular, and we'll get into it more, like, when we're talking about our spinoffs and stuff like that, but there was a particular producer that shouldn't have been on that show because she didn't like Playboy, she didn't like me, and I don't even think she liked what we were doing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I feel like I've faced the same prejudice a lot, and I'm just curious if you've ever had it too.
I'll get into that, but can I be the negative side, as I always am?
Yeah.
Okay, when I heard Kendra say that, oh, it's because I have blonde hair and big boobs, you know, I'm sure that's, like, you know, people make assumptions because of that too. But my first thought was, if somebody was going to rank her last just based on, you know, their impression of her at the training or whatever, which that wasn't even what happened, but if that was the case, I don't think it's because of the blonde hair and big boobs. I think it's because she shows up and like acts like a goofball and people don't take her seriously. Which is like, if that's her personality, fine. But it's like when you show up and, you know, you seem not focused or unarticulate or like you're not taking something seriously. And also, too, she's also there trying to film a reality show, which nobody else, as far as I know, was. And she's trying to make it entertaining. So she's going doing the flags and flashing people. But also, like, to an outsider who doesn't know what it's like to film a reality show, they're seeing that and they're like, oh, this goofball doesn't take it seriously. And she's, you know, I don't think it's the blonde hair and big boobs. I mean, look at Danica Patrick. She was winning races by day and posing for Maxim at night. You know, there's so many female athletes who also happen to be really hot.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think there's a lot to be said for actually doing your homework and paying attention in the class and knowing what you're doing, especially when you're about to do something that's dangerous. It's inherently dangerous mm-hmm. to go and do that. So you need to know what you're doing for your safety and everybody else's yeah. out there. So if you're not taking it seriously, I can totally see why if there wasn't a qualifying race ahead of time and somebody was just like, I'm going to rank these people without even seeing how they are out there, that could definitely go against them.
Totally. But what you were saying as far as like people not taking me seriously for things, I mean, I'm sure people are thinking that before they've ever met me, but I feel like I've experienced it kind of differently because, well, one thing I feel like when people come to me, the hesitation I sense from them going back to from when I first started out is more that like, oh, she's dating this rich dude. She's going to be a spoiled fucking bitch. And this is really, you know, I feel like people don't come at me as like, she's going to be dumb. They come at me as like, oh, she's going to be spoiled and lazy. So when I show up and do what I feel is the bare minimum, aka being on time, you know, thanking everybody for being there, doing my job, being prepared, having my lines memorized, whatever, my experience and feedback with that is people are like, oh my God, you're so great to work with. Oh my God, this is so, because their expectations are so fucking low that I actually benefit from those low expectations.
I do feel that happened to us a lot on Girls Next Door. Like we would get to go do something and you and I are on time mm-hmm. and we just do it and knock it out and everything. And people are like, wow.
Blown away.
Yeah, you guys are so easy to work with. And that was so amazing. And that was mm-hmm. so fun. And thank you. And you're on time. And whoa. And stuff. And they are surprised and stuff. But I've also had the opposite happen. And not necessarily Girls Next Door time. I'm just talking about in general in life.
Mm-hmm.
This episode of Girls Next Level is brought to you by Wild Grains. And although this is an ad, I want you guys to know I absolutely love this company. If you haven't tried it yet, you must give it a try. Wild Grain is the first bake from frozen subscription box for artisanal breads, pastries, and pastas. And it is delicious. And if you have certain dietary restrictions, don't fret. Wild Grain boxes are fully customizable to your tastes and dietary restrictions. In addition to their classic variety box, they recently launched a new gluten-free box and a plant-based box that is 100% vegan. I love baking, but I don't always have the time to whip up a sourdough from scratch or snickerdoodle cookies or croissants from scratch. Wild Grain takes the hassle out of baking. Everything is frozen. You just pull it out of the freezer and it's done in 25 minutes or less with no mess and no cleanup.
I get so excited when my Wild Grain box arrives because that means I can pop a sourdough loaf in the oven and my house is smelling so good for the rest of the day. And we have delicious bread for family dinner, which I love. Are you ready to bring all your favorite carbs right to your doorstep? Be sure to check out Wild Grain so you can begin building your own box of artisanal breads, pastas, and pastries. For a limited time, Wild Grain is offering our listeners $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/nextlevel to start your subscription. You heard me, free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/nextlevel. That's wildgrain.com/nextlevel, or you can use promo code nextlevel at checkout. I mean, I feel like too, like as far as people thinking I'm going to be smart or not smart, I come off so dead serious with everything. But the negative side of that is everybody thinks I'm mean and everybody thinks I hate them and everybody thinks, you know?
Yeah.
So
I don't think everybody thinks that, but I know what you mean. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just as you were saying that, a story just like popped into my head.
What?
It has to do with beaches, but I'll just tell you guys right now. And Nick was there filming with me, and I'm not going to say the location right now just because I don't want to give too much away at the moment. But it's sort of like an expectation thing. Like people think, like you said, spoiled or a bitch or whatever. And we are out on this boat, and this guy is going to take me on like a, I don't remember if it was snorkeling or little diving tour, but either way, we're taking the boat out and we're going to jump off and like go do this whole thing and underwater. And he says, and he doesn't know that Nick is like my boyfriend, and he got to come out on the boat with us that day. And he goes up to the makeup artist, who was Joyce at the time, and Nick and one of the producers, and goes, so should I pee on this bitch or what?
Wait,
like
what?
In the water, like, you know, like you can pee. He's like, should I like give her a golden shower under there?
That's just pervy and sexual harassment at this point.
And Nick was so pissed and Joyce was so pissed.
Who the fuck was this guy?
He was like, he was on the show. He was like going to
drop the name.
I know, right? He was going to do like an underwater. It was like a snuba or snorkeling or diving type
scuba tour guide.
Yeah. Okay. Like, so we were going to go see things underwater, like the sea turtles and the whatever else we're going to find under the water. And he's like, so should I give this bitch like a golden shower?
That is so wild that he would think that the people you're working with are not going to have your back. And I assume he didn't know you and Nick were dating.
No. Yeah, yeah. It's just another like crew person on the boat, you know, hanging out. Like,
that is wild.
Yeah.
Ew.
And I don't know anything about this. Like, no one tells me this until like where I'm about to go in. And Nick's like, watch out for that guy. And Joyce is like, don't swim behind him.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, what?
Ew.
Gross.
Ew. I wish I knew his name off the top of my head so I could shout him out.
Honestly, I don't even know his name. Like, if I were to say, I do not remember this person's name. I could tell you the location. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I don't have any other, you know, a name to get shout out or
anything. Disgusting.
I can find out when I watch the show. Yeah. But I don't know it off the top of my head. But that just made me think of that. Like, people just have these expectations. They think, oh, she's this, like, playboy celebrity bitch. She's got to be a bitch. She's got to be, like, you know. And I'm just there doing my job and, like, giving 100%. And
wow, that's so gross.
And he just thinks automatically that everyone doesn't like me and that he's going to, ha-ha, get one on me.
Ew.
I know.
Ew.
Okay, so to end that scene, Kendra's basically like, I'm going to go as hard as I can. I'm going to win this race and prove them wrong. And Mary's like, you know, laughs. And then the next scene is me in my room and the hardwood floors are in.
Yes. And my note here is they're just, with this Frankenstein episode, just cutting back and forth furiously between our plot lines.
And there's a knock at the door and this is the scene that...
Okay, as much as I hate this episode in general, this scene is one of my favorite scenes of the entire series because I put in my notes, I'm about to throw my hands up with this episode. I hate it so much. But then Crystal walks in, Crystal Camden, with this big Playboy Bunny pillow, like propped inside her sweatshirt. So it's completely covering her head. And she just looks like a character walking in with this Playboy Bunny head. And it is the funniest visual. And it makes me so happy. And I want to ask you, like, why did she do that? Was she just trying to be funny? Or was this like a last minute recruit these two girls to be on camera and she didn't have makeup on? So,
yeah. So they were sitting in my room chatting and we were talking about stuff. And then the film crew comes in to film and she's like, oh, fuck, no, I'm out of here because she didn't have any makeup on. She didn't have her hair extensions in, nothing. And she's like, no way, I'm out. And she starts leaving. They're like, no, will you just do the scene? Because like we wanted to show the outfit. Like we want the scene. Mm-hmm. And she was like, no. And then she's like, oh, I have to hide my face. And she grabbed the pillow off my bed. But for whatever reason, the way she did it, it's like it's
perfect. It looks like really funny. Yes. And it's just so cute. And I'm surprised, in a way, I'm surprised Kevin didn't protest this because he like, why the fuck is she covering her face? But it is so funny. I think that's why it works.
Yeah, and because also, there's no rhyme or reason to it. Like, they don't say why she's doing that. They have her go out and come back in with this odd, and we never mention it. And I just carry on like no big deal.
Yeah, it's so funny. And she's with Brittany Phillips, who it's interesting to see her in a scene with you because she was pretty exclusively Kendra's friend, right?
She was, but like, we always got along too. And so, you know, I mean, with so many of these things, like, it's hard to say why they only show her with Kendra, but her and Kendra definitely were more of the friend group.
Where did Kendra meet her? Because she wasn't like affiliated with Playboy in any way, or
Didn't she just start coming out for Fun in the Sun and they gravitated to each other?
Maybe, yeah. And she looks really pretty in this scene.
Yeah, I feel like Kendra does not have nice things to say about her in commentary.
Yeah, well, I wish we could tell the drama story with her, but I feel like it might be tricky legally.
Yeah.
But there's a lot. There's a lot of lore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wish we could, like, say, I don't know what we could say to, like, make it not, like, dangle the carrot and then not do anything.
But yeah. I mean, something happened. Well, she kind of led a double life that Kendra didn't know about, first of all, right?
She led a double life. How much Kendra knew about it, I don't know.
Yeah, when Kendra told me about it, she made it sound like she didn't know.
So they're in my room, and I'm trying on my outfit for them that I want to wear. I think it sounds like I have a couple options that I'm thinking about wearing, but I only do the one, and everybody's like, yeah, that one.
Was this the day of the golf scramble? Because it looks like you're changing out of the golf scramble outfit.
Oh, it could have been. Yeah. I didn't even pay attention that I was doing that. I did that.
And you're trying on stuff for the race, right?
I'm trying on stuff for the race, and I'm telling them how we're going to be in the Grand Marshal car. And then it cuts to a scene of you and Hef getting ready, but it's from the last Grand Prix.
Continuity is for pussies. Mm-hmm. This is from the previous year, so I will do a full outfit change.
And it's funny because at some point, Crystal gets tired of trying to do the Playboy bunny head in her thing, and she takes it off, but she puts her hood on
and her sunglasses on. And she's so incognito.
Oh my gosh, she goes from Mr. Playboy to the Unabomber.
I know. But before we leave that scene, so Brittany is the first person that I can recall who actually gets lower thirded as a friend because she's never fucked Hef, so they can't say Hef's former girlfriend. She's not a playmate or a cyber girl. So as far as I have noticed, this is the first person who actually gets lower thirded as a friend.
Interesting. And it just says friend?
Yeah. And I wonder if that's in part because I harassed Kevin so bad about how he lower thirded Crystal and Stacy for so long.
Well, doesn't Stacy still get the same
probably
thing forever?
Like, I don't think. And I think honestly, like, Stacy doesn't mind it.
No, Stacy doesn't mind it. That's not really the point, but it's just the point of giving people like more to their identity.
Totally.
But
then
Crystal
concubine
does get
number 12.
Yeah, but Crystal does get switched up to Cyber Girl.
Mm-hmm.
We have been talking a lot about women's health lately, and it's because it's important, and in my opinion, it's under-discussed as well. Let me tell you about a brand that I'm just learning about. O Positive is a women's health company. They offer a range of symptom-targeting supplements that support women at every stage of life, from their first period to well beyond their last. O Positive is committed to breaking down stigmas and addressing issues that many women experience, from hormone health, vaginal health, menopause, and so much more. They have Urovaginal Probiotic. Uro is a probiotic blend specifically formulated to support vaginal health. It balances healthy vaginal pH, support healthy vaginal smell, maintain healthy vaginal flora. Because as women, there are many factors that can affect us down there, like sex, tight clothing, sweat from working out, hormones, periods, you name it. So many normal things that we have to deal with on a daily basis can actually disrupt vaginal health and lead to an imbalance in vaginal flora and pH, causing unhealthy vaginal odor, abnormal discharge, and discomfort. Urovaginal Probiotic is a blend of four powerful strains of Lactobacillus probiotics, backed by research showing these strains support healthy vaginal odor, vaginal pH, and flora. In addition, Uro contains prebiotics that increase effectiveness of the probiotics.
Maintaining a healthy vaginal pH is so important. It's a priority for me because I do not have time for the discomfort and embarrassment it would cause if that were to go out of whack. So taking the Urovaginal probiotic is a part of my daily routine now. It takes away so many potential worries and it makes me feel good about myself. So take proactive care of your health and head to opositive.com/next level or enter next level at checkout for 25% off your first purchase. That's opositive.com/next level for 25% off. opositive.com/next level.
So then the next scene, the cameras are at the Toyota Grand Prix and the celebrities are being interviewed and Britney is hanging with Kendra and
we helicopter in.
Which was so fun.
Are you more afraid of helicopters ever since the Kobe Bryant thing?
I wouldn't say I'm so afraid that I wouldn't go in one, but it definitely doesn't feel as safe as it did.
Yeah, I haven't been in one since. And I used to take helicopters all the time, like out to EDC. I'd always helicopter out. And I was always like the least scared of all my friends who would do it, even if it was windy and we're being bounced around and stuff. But like the things I hear about the Kobe Bryant thing, it's just like so gruesome. Like, have you seen that autopsy report drawing that goes around? It's just so sad.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. There's been so many aviation problems lately.
Well, recently. What's happening?
Yeah, it's really, really scary. But I at this point in time, I loved the helicopter.
My
grandpa is a pilot. He does not like for an airline or anything like that. He did he had his own little private plane and he did like crop dusting and things like real crop dusting and like things like that and stuff. And he always wanted me to get my pilot's license. And I always thought if I did, I kind of would want to be a helicopter pilot. Like I loved how they hover. Mm-hmm. You feel like a bug kind of like that can go anywhere type of thing. And I thought I would want to be a helicopter pilot if I did it. I've never done it. I've only helped him co-pilot in his little plane before, which he probably just made me think I was doing stuff and really wasn't. But so I have never pursued any of that, but I've thought about it before. And Nick's dad was a fighter pilot and he's thought about getting his pilot license.
Fighter pilot. That sounds so exhilarating.
I know. In fact, one year I got him all of the training manuals and all the books to start pilot training 101. Mm-hmm.
But he seems like he'd be into that.
Yeah. He loves doing crazy jobs like that. Like I've told you he's done treasure diving.
Dangerous jobs.
Yeah. And other stuff. So yeah, he's into that.
So where are we when it shows us first at the race? Are we in some kind of media room or holding
like a green
room
type thing? Yeah.
And it shows a girl interviewing Hef in the media room. And
Andrea.
Is she with Playboy? Because her tits are out.
Yeah. That's Andrea from Playboy Radio.
Okay. Because that looks normal to us, but I'm like, okay, no other reporter would be udders to the wind the way. So Kendra is telling us, as we're waiting, that there were 5 crashes during the training, and that foreshadows what's about to happen.
But first, she is setting something up, too, which I think is interesting. She's whispering in Hef's ear that there's a lot of stupid drivers out here. So I'm going to, and they had 5 crashes in qualifying. So I'm not playing to win anymore. I'm just playing to be safe. But I feel like the writing's already on the wall and she's setting it up so people aren't disappointed.
So Kendra's mom shows up and she's, not to say she's not worried, if Rainbow were doing this, I'd probably be similar, but she's very her and Kendra are very good, I feel, being exaggerated for the camera, which is great for a reality show, but she's over the top.
Agreed.
This is Patty's scene.
Yeah, I agree. And I wrote that in my notes, too. I totally get, if this were my daughter, I would be very, very nervous and, not love this idea either. But the drama level that she escalates it to, is just on a whole other level.
That's what I thought watching it too. But honestly, not that I ever want to do anything like this, but if Rainbow were on a reality show, I would show up and be the most obnoxious, embarrassing mom. I think being embarrassed in front of your friends builds character, honestly. And I'm just so dramatic with her. I remember like one of the first times I noticed it being embarrassing was like she had friends over at her house and she like, oh, mom, I kind of like hurt my hand or whatever. And I do this like big dramatic thing. And she walks away and to her friend, she goes, ugh, the way my mom reacts. And I was like, oh, I'm clocked.
Oh, no.
This episode of Girls Next Level is brought to you by Alloy Women's Health. Aging can be not fun. Problem sleeping, hot flashes, brain fog, weight gain, decreased libido, and all that stuff can hit people pretty hard. Menopause is inevitable, but it's also treatable. I just saw a number that's shocking. I just found out that almost half of women went 3+ years before seeking relief from menopause or perimenopausal symptoms. Why would we do that to ourselves? That's because 43% of women reported that their doctors just never even mentioned MHT. And what is MHT? Because I was wondering too. That's menopause hormone therapy. And it's an option for treatment. Another 40% didn't know where to go for a solution. Alloy can help you live your best, healthiest life through menopause and beyond, offering unlimited access to experts and safe, science-backed treatments for your symptoms, skin, hair, and sexual wellness delivered to your door. Everything is done online from the comfort of your home or anywhere, really. No waiting for an appointment or in line at the pharmacy. Alloy is fast, accessible, and their treatments actually work. So how does it work? Alloy solutions are available by prescription, so you'll need to complete a short medical questionnaire and patient verification. From there, you'll work with a menopause-trained physician to finalize a personalized treatment plan tailored to your specific needs. Once you're approved, Alloy ships your prescription directly to your door with automatic refills. I've seen the stats, and I cannot recommend Alloy enough. Join the 95% of women who tried Alloy and saw relief in the first 2 weeks. Head to myalloy.com/next level and tell them all about your symptoms, and you'll get a fully customized treatment plan. And you'll get $20 off your first order today. Head to myalloy.com/next level and enter code NEXTLEVEL to get $20 off your first order.
Well, Kendra's complaining because her mom's asking her a million questions and she said that just makes her more nervous. And I can see that. Like, that bugs me too. Like, if I'm like nervous and trying to do something and somebody's like, did you grab this and did you do that? Are you going to be here? And
I know, it makes it worse. It's like, stop. I'm just in my zone right now.
Yeah. So I totally get all of that.
And it's showing some shots inside the race cars and there's a lever inside the car that says fire. Do you know what that is?
I think you release that if there is a fire in the car because
like
they also have to wear, well, I don't know about this race. I couldn't tell, but I know when Marco does a race, he has to put on this whole like fire retardant bodysuit and this like thing that goes over his head and neck because they can catch, cars can start on fire. So I have a feeling it's like some sort of like emergency fire extinguisher thing or something that goes off, but I don't know exactly what it is, but it has to have something to do with all of that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't see them wearing, they're pretty low speed, I think, in this, the celebrity race of it all. And in those Scion cars, I don't think it's like, they're not going 200 miles an hour like Indy cars do, but Patty's doing her whole drama and freaking out and stuff. And Hef says, oh, don't worry about it. She's going to be fine. It's just, she'll be safe or whatever. And I was thinking about this. I was like, oh, easy for him to say, because you guys, I found out after.
Oh, God.
After, like way after we quit filming the show, like a year after, that Hef had insurance policies on each of us.
Tell how you found out about that, because it was so random.
Yeah, so I have no idea about this. I didn't even know that was a thing that you do. And one day I get a call, and I'm at my house. I'm way out, way done with the show. I get a call from the insurance agency asking if I wanted to extend my policy. And I was like, I don't have a policy with this company. What are they talking about? So I call them back and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they said, well, Hef has an insurance policy on you, like an umbrella policy for $1 million. If, you know, it's about to expire, if you want to go ahead and extend that for yourself and then you would be the beneficiary, like we can switch it around and stuff. And I was like, Hef has an insurance policy. So I was like, what are they talking about? No, he doesn't. So then I call Norma and I'm like, what is this? And she's like, oh yeah, Hef hasn't had an insurance policy on each of you girls.
And just to clarify for the listeners, this wasn't an umbrella policy. Like if I were to take out an umbrella policy that way, like if anything happens, whether it's a car accident or my dog bites somebody or something weird like that and I get sued, I'm covered. It's not that. It's a policy like if something were to happen to us, he gets paid out.
Yes.
Right?
For the loss of a employee.
Which I understand from a business perspective, that's a thing people do sometimes. But for me, that's so eerie considering our situation. For several reasons. One, because we were constantly being told how replaceable we mm-hmm. were. So if we're so replaceable, why do you have insurance policies taken out on us? Second of all, it's in a, you know, at least what's supposed to be like a romantic relationship. And we didn't even know about it.
I think the thing that bothers me most about it is that we didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know. That's just so eerie to me that you can just take out an insurance policy on anybody and they don't even have to agree to it or know that you're going to benefit if something happens to that person.
Yeah, I feel like we should have to know, and we should have to know who benefits. Like if there's an insurance policy, it should be like my family benefiting, not Hef.
Yeah.
That is so creepy. And of course, it just has a whole creepy flavor because of course my mind goes to like film noir, Double Indemnity, like taking out an insurance policy on somebody and then, you know, making sure something happens to them so you can cash in, you know, it's just
yeah,
so creepy.
Look, I wasn't even thinking that. Like, I wasn't thinking like in that type of way, but I was just thinking, I don't think it's right that you can have an insurance policy on somebody without them knowing it.
It's really creepy.
And apparently it's just common.
Ew.
Well, at least the way people made it sound to me, like Norma was just like, well, I don't understand what your problem, like what, no big deal. And then I asked other people after that and they're like, oh yeah, people, you know, do that. Like they'll take out insurance policies on employees and stuff. Or like if two people own a company, they'll take out insurance policy on each other. That way you're just not left like holding the bag if like something yeah. happens to the other person. And I get that. Like I see the benefit of that, but
I would feel like that kind of situation. A creep. If I was taking out an insurance policy on you in case something happens to you so that I'm not like out of the podcast industry, you know, whatever, without telling, like just the thought of that is so creepy to me.
Totally. Like I would never.
So backhanded.
And I would never
yuck.
Do that to you. It would be
yeah.
something that we should sit down and talk about. Like, should we do this just in case?
Yeah.
And then we both agree on it and we both know. It's not just something like I'm like, oh, wait, this policy that I have on you? Yeah.
Sinister.
Yeah, keep driving back and forth to Vegas.
Yeah, that is like evil villain status.
Like,
yeah.
It's creepy and scary.
Like if I knew Hef was going to get paid if something bad happened to me, I might be a little more careful with myself.
If anything, we should have had an insurance policy on him.
100%.
Like
Jesus.
If someone's going somewhere, it's going to be him.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Anyway, I had to talk about that because.
Egregious.
I was so blown away at the time, and I still am, to be honest. I'm still blown away by it.
It's yucky. So what we get to do is we get to ride around the track in a convertible with Hef as grand marshals. I really like my outfit and ponytail. It makes me feel very jaunty looking at it.
Yeah, I think it's totally cute. But do you remember how fun this was? Like, it exceeded all of my expectations. Like, I've done a lot of parades and things like that where I've sat on the back of a car and, like, waved and stuff. Mm-hmm. This was not like that. This was kind of fast. Do you remember? It was way faster than I thought you should be going for people sitting on the back like that. Like, I was definitely holding on. It was exhilarating. The crowds were going wild. Like, it was really – and we got to do the whole course, so we got to see the whole thing. It was really fun.
It was really fun. And I think in commentary, I say this was one of the most fun things I've ever done.
Yeah. I think we both are talking
yeah.
about how amazing it was.
And I've been in a couple parades since then. But lately, I've been asked to do a couple parades. And I always say no, because for some reason lately, like all I can think about is like getting shot if you were in a parade. I don't know why. That's like the first thing that comes to my mind.
Oh, Nick says
probably
that
just
because
the
too.
World is going crazy. I'm like, I don't know if I want to ride around and be in the back of a car of a parade. But I used to love doing it because I am that cheesy ass bitch.
Me too. I love
doing this one. I did one when I first moved to Vegas. And I don't even know who arranged this. If it was like the Las Vegas Convention Visitors Authority or whoever it was. It was some like Visit Las Vegas. They arranged to do like this Guinness Book of World Records for the largest bikini parade ever. So they had all these women in bikinis and they wanted me to lead it. And then at the end of it, there was like a parade where I like rode down the strip in like this pink convertible with an Elvis impersonator.
That's fun.
But it was such a fun way to like commemorate my move to Vegas.
Yeah. I love all that stuff. Like I've done pageants and things like that where, you know, you put like your little sign, oh, miss whatever, and like wave to people on the back. And I loved all that kind of stuff.
Did you do a Mardi Gras one once or am I on crack? Yeah, or something in the South for like Halloween or something like that. It was something Mardi Gras-ish.
Oh my gosh. I know, a Halloween in Key West.
Okay, I knew there was something.
You guys, Halloween in Key West is the shit. Like it is the biggest party.
Does Robert the Doll come out?
He doesn't come out. Well,
he should be like on a chair. Like
I should like hold him up. But I'm sure his caretaker does.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's incredible. And I was the grand marshal for that. And they made me the coolest float. I was a vampire bat. Like I literally, it was a really cool costume. I had a vampire bat costume made. And they made this tree coming up off the back of this truck. And there was like coffins down by both sides of the tree. And they had this platform for me to sit on up in the tree, with like a seatbelt and stuff for me
cute.
So I didn't fall out in there. And in the coffins, Joyce sat in one and threw like beads and candy and stuff. And Nick was in the other coffin throwing beads. And they
coffin sidecar.
Yeah, they had it all decorated so cool. Like they went all out. I would love to go back to Key West for Halloween.
That is so fun.
I would love it. It was amazing. And then we, especially you, but both of us are like so jealous that Hef gets to do the announcement.
I know, because I'm like, I've always wanted to be a gentleman start your engines girl. I did get to do that at the Las Vegas Speedway once. And it was cool because they made me like my own racing suit that was like pink and like had my name on it. It was super, super cute.
I love that shit. So I've always asked to do it too. Like I always tell Marco, I really want to do it at the Indianapolis 500 or any of the Indianapolis races or whatever. But I guess at the Indianapolis 500 for the longest time, it was always this same little old lady who owned the racetrack, and she did it every year. So there was no like
she's
anybody
holding
else.
Tight. Yeah, I mean, I would too.
I think she's passed away now, and now somebody else owns it. And now I don't know how they pick now, but for the longest time, and when I was going to them, it was her. So I never got the opportunity to do it. I mean, not that it's over. Like I still go to some of their races. So
yeah. This is the most random side story. But when I was thinking of the pink racing suit, I was thinking about how they made two. And one of them I have, and the one that I wore. And then one of them is like on display somewhere, like, I don't know, Planet Hollywood or something. But it made me think about how sometimes for movies they do that. Like they'll have two copies of things just in case like something gets dirty or something. And you know, my favorite movie is Casino. And I love Sharon Stone's clothes. And in interviews, I've heard her say it a couple times that like she has all her clothes, or she came up with a clause in her contract that she gets all her clothes from her movies and stuff like that. But I know she doesn't have all her clothes because like I know of certain things that have been auctioned off. I have one of the things. I know of multiple things that have been auctioned off. And I'm like, were there multiple copies or is she generalizing? Or is this like the story when Paula Abdul said she was in a plane crash and no record of the plane crash exists? Have you
Isn't
heard
that
story?
Weird.
I know.
I have heard that story, but there's like no answer to this.
Yeah. And I really like Paula Abdul. Like I've spent some time with her before and I just think she's
fun.
She's the cutest and the quirkiest. And part of me wants to believe that it's a fake story because on her, I think it's cute for some reason.
That's so funny. I have heard about that. It's so weird.
Yeah. God bless. this could be, you know, like how we're always having the thing where we feel like anytime we say something that's put out there, there's somebody in the comment section who's like, well, actually.
Still happening.
I mean, I could be the well actually to Sharon Stone and Paula Abdul. I could be well, and they could have like a perfectly reasonable explanation for it. And I'm over here, well, actually.
I own one of them. Yeah. So.
So the world will never know. The older I get and the more everything's online and the more feedback you get about everything, the more I realize nobody knows shit. And there's a straight answer to very few things.
Well,
everything is so nuanced and so grayscale.
So we're watching the race. And I think Kendra was the first one out on the fourth lap.
Yeah, and there's a lot of racing footage. And even though, like, it's fun to see, I always feel like these episodes, and there's been one other one so far, I can't think of what it was, but anytime there's an episode where there's a lot of, like, action scenes, I just have nothing to say about it because it's an action scene.
Oh.
So it's kind of like a blank space in my notes.
Oh, one other thing I was going to add, though, when they say, gentlemen, start your engines, they make all this, like, IndyCar noise, like all these, like, race cars are starting, and these are Toyota Scions.
Yeah,
so I'm like, they're
so
not making
funny.
That noise.
So Kendra gets in, like, a minor crash, and in real life, did we see it? Was it kind of on the other side?
We could see it on the monitor.
Okay.
We could see it from where we're sitting.
Yeah.
But there's always monitors that are following the cars and show the wreck and everything. So we see it on the monitor.
That's kind of how I remember it. Like, I remember being aware of it, but, like, we're not really seeing it firsthand. It's not like it's happening right next to us. There was, like, a delay in, like, what's happening here.
Yeah. I mean, it appears that she's going to be okay because she... It's not like a super crazy crash. It crashes into, like, the curve a little bit. And then she pulls the car over off to the other side of the track. And honestly, and even when I watch races now, that's, like, the scariest moment to me because cars are flying
right.
by and they don't know yet. I mean, hopefully that somebody's in their ear. There are little, like, earbud things saying there was a crash in this turn, like, right here.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out for it and stuff. But it's always, like, when I see people crash like that or, like, whatever, stuck on the track, I just get so nervous for them until, like, all the cars are slowed down and stopped. It, like, freaks me out.
Yeah, it's scary. And it cuts to some reaction shots of us, but I don't think these are real because it's, like, it's not that we weren't concerned, but I don't think there was ever a thought that this was, like, a serious accident. It was
right.
more like a tiny fender bender, and it's more like, oh, she's out of the race. What's happening? Rather than, oh, my God, is she okay?
Well, what's happening? And let's find her.
Yeah.
And, like, make sure she's
okay.
Where
do we go now?
Because
yeah.
even if she's okay physically, she might be, like, rattled and, like, you know, upset about it and stuff. So, like, well, is she okay? Let's go find her. Let's go, you know, console her type of thing. And I do think that we were all genuinely, like, supportive and concerned and, like, hoping that everything was okay.
No, 100%.
Stuff, you know? And
later in commentary, she said she wished her crash looked more like George Lucas's because his was a major crash.
Well,
like, they show it.
That other car came right up onto the hood of the car and, like, almost into the windshield, which would have been, I mean, that could have been deadly.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And this next scene I really like because we come up to Kendra and congratulate her and tell her, you know, how, you know, concerned we were about, like, you know, what's happening with the crash and everything. And I think this is a really nice moment because we are so genuinely supportive and they don't usually ever show that, I feel. Like, usually it's like, oh, how can we cut to make it look like Holly's giving Kendra a side eye? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is, like, more like I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, that's how things really were. Like, we really were trying to support each other doing these things.
Yeah. And then I was curious, like, who won? Because I didn't even know.
Oh, I don't even remember who
but
won.
A guy named Dave Mira. He's a BMX guy.
Oh.
I had to look it up because I was just like, I don't even know who won this thing.
Yeah.
And it was all for a good cause. Like, the proceeds went to the local children's hospital. So that's good. And then it shows us getting in the helicopter and heading home. And we talk about this in commentary. They specifically try and make it look like Kendra gets in the helicopter and leaves with us. And they even put her laugh in there.
Mm-hmm.
And she was not with us. She had her own car parked at Long Beach and had to go back to the hotel and all that kind of stuff and press to do afterwards and things like that. So we leave in the helicopter without her and she comes home later.
Do you have a best and worst?
You know, I do. I did do it, but I don't really have too much. I say I don't really have a worst about this episode. I just think it goes back to Kevin accusing us of doing the stopwatch thing. But this episode was literally Kendra's episode. Like, there's no question that there's, like, triple the amount of time here, double the amount of time on Kendra than there is with either of our scenes, which is fine. And I'm sure that there's probably going to be, well, I'm not sure, but there's probably going to be an episode in the future where it's all me or something too. But so I just, it just pisses me off that Kevin would say something like that. And this,
he was definitely trying to rewrite history as like a jab because we didn't want to do that stupid fucking reunion.
Yeah. And and we were just talking about it. And then I watched this episode and I'm like, how could he even dare say that?
I know.
In this episode. And granted, I'm not done with the rest of the season or the seasons, but this episode is fully her. And none of us are complaining and all of us are supportive and all of us are there and none of us are protesting. I don't want to go or, you know, any of that. And my best was definitely riding in the Grand Marshal car.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. My worst is my whole Prius scene. I just cringe watching it. I think it was kind of just dumb and not worth following, really. And then they make it even dumber because there's that part where I think Kevin thinks I'm trying to be funny and plays it off like I told a bad joke when I was just saying something very matter of fact. My best is like the final scene at the race where we're all coming together and congratulating Kendra and being supportive, because I feel like that is a very real scene and those kind of scenes usually never got shown. Yeah. And I feel like that's real and it's showing like the real good side of like the three of our relationship. So that was definitely my favorite.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to get to next week because we're talking about Surely You Joust, which is the Renaissance Fair episode. So we're back to like better season three episodes that I like. It's no more Frankenstein for the last two episodes. And I'm excited to get to it.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.